This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're talking about coffee on today's Open for Business. Everything from coffee culture to specialty coffee to getting coffee delivered to your doorstep. Joining us in the studio to talk about all of that is Paul Berthelsen. He is the founder of a coffee company called Perk Coffee. You may have heard of it. Perk Coffee is basically a subscription service for coffee. It's an online platform and customers get to order how much coffee they want and how frequently they want it. That is the gist of it and the business model on which Perk Coffee operates on. Now, why a subscription service specifically, Paul? Like why not just sell Perk Coffee like off the shelf or, you know, like in supermarkets?
That's a good question because, my journey into coffee started in Kenya. That's where I fell in love with coffee. And I started to explore more when I moved to Singapore. And I started to visit some of the cafes and the roasters in the area and started to buy their coffee fresh from roasting, sometimes within days, sometimes a week or two. And I started to notice the difference in flavor between coffee that was roasted, say, 2-3 days ago versus 2 weeks ago versus 2 months ago. Versus supermarket coffee, which can be even 6 to 12 months.
You have no idea when it was roasted.
Well, they give a production date, and then they say 6 to 12 months use by.
Yeah.
So production date is the roast date. So big difference in just the vibrancy of the flavors. So I realized, there's really something in that. I want to drink my coffee within days of roasting.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do that was to buy small amounts. So I would go to a roastery, buy a small amount of coffee, like a 250-gram bag, and that would last me a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then go back and buy another one. And that's the way I did it. And I thought, I think there's an opportunity here. I mean, if someone could provide a service where you could roast every week, roast to order, and get it delivered frequently, and it's in small pack sizes, that would be perfect. So subscription models seem to fit freshly roasted coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the idea was conceptualized.
And that person became you?
Yes.
The person who was delivering coffee on a weekly
basis.
Well,
exactly. I guess I was trying to solve my own problem of getting freshly roasted coffee delivered to me conveniently.
Okay. So from what I get, the subscription model is a way for you to keep the coffee fresh. That's your emphasis. You want to make sure the coffee is fresh for the people who drink the coffee, for the people who are going to consume the coffee. And the on-demand model was the one of the only ways to ensure that, right? Where does that passion come from? Like I know you mentioned you were a farmer in Kenya for 15 years, but where does that passion for coffee come from?
That I've always been a coffee drinker, even when I was a kid through university. Never tea. It was always coffee. And I moved to Kenya in 2001. I backpacked after university. I backpacked there in 2000.
Okay.
And moved there in 2001 and lived there for nearly 15 years. So I started farming. You come across some of the best coffee in the world. Kenya is renowned for its high altitude, very complex flavors. You've got notes of, grapefruit, blackcurrant, very, very, high quality coffee. Their double A coffee is very famous.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I got into coffee there. And when I eventually moved to Singapore in 2015, that sort of home brewing, I started to get more and more into home brewing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started.
Okay. So from Kenya, you went to Hawaii first, right?
Right.
Then you said you love to travel the world. You are a traveler. You settled down in Singapore, and now you're delivering coffee to people's doorsteps in Malaysia as well. Why Malaysia?
I think that was an obvious next step.
Uh-huh.
I'm based in Singapore, so yeah, it's the neighbor. The distance isn't too far.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my partner is my sister-in-law, so that sort of made it easy too.
Okay,
so, yeah,
and she's from Malaysia.
She's Malaysian from Malaysia. Yeah.
Okay. What about the Malaysian market? What did you see in the Malaysian market that you thought was suitable for coffee? Like, does Malaysia have a coffee culture?
Yes, they do. I mean, there's the traditional kopitiam culture, which is across Asia, really, similar in Singapore. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, there's been a movement, the third wave coffee movement, has struck Asia, all over Asia. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it started a little earlier in places like Korea and Singapore as well. But I think it's strong in Malaysia now. It's really picking up. It may only just be a couple years behind Singapore, but I think there's potential. So our coffee is specialty grade. It is sort of third wave coffee.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by third wave coffee? I've never heard that phrase before.
Okay, so first wave was the commercialization of coffee. This, uh-huh. this happened like 100 years ago or so, mm-hmm. With the invention of instant coffee, freeze-dried coffee.
Yeah.
And then second wave was like Starbucks, when they began to make gourmet, higher quality coffee.
Mm, mm,
mm. And And then third wave is now really bringing the art into gourmet coffee,
mm-hmm.
Taking it a step further. Not mass commercialization like Starbucks, but independent coffee cafes.
Like artisan coffees and stuff.
Yeah, and you'll see independent cafes pop up everywhere. You know, they're not big chains. One or two cafes uh-huh. that they'll have. Yeah.
Smaller guys opening and stuff.
That's right.
Okay. I ask because, you know, I didn't know if we do. Because, you know, like I said, we love our coffee. Like 95% of the people I know definitely need coffee when they wake up in the morning. It fuels them. It fuels their days.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if we have like a quote-unquote coffee culture. Because, you know, we love our coffee cafes. We are willing to pay a premium if the coffee comes with like good ambience and good music. But our coffee taste is more eclectic, I would say. Like, we're more open. So I wanted to get your, from a business perspective, you know, someone who's like studied the market maybe, you know, your view on Malaysian coffee culture.
Yeah, certainly it was a little bit challenging in the beginning because third wave specialty coffee tends mm-hmm. to be, they prize acidity, for example.
Yeah.
So you'll pay more money for a coffee that has higher acidity, grown in higher altitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of, and they roast lighter. So that type of taste, flavor profile is a little bit contrary to what most Asians are used to with the traditional kopitiam. Mm. Much darker roast profile, robuster quality. So, and kopitiam coffee is actually made with margarine and sugar and corn. Robuster coffee is a completely different quality. And if you don't mix it with margarine and sugar, you get this very rubbery taste and the dark roast profile, a burnt taste as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we had, in the beginning, we had people say, well, this is, you know, it tastes very light.
Yeah.
so that's a challenge. So we had to explain that, you know, we don't add anything. There are no additives, no flavors, no margarine, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So you are tasting the coffee as it is. You know, we're trying to bring out the provenance of the coffee.
It's pure.
It's mm-hmm. it's sort of like the wine industry. You know, we're trying to keep it as pure as possible, and we choose a roast profile that is going to highlight these flavors. So typically, you know, you'll get coffees in Asia grown in lower altitude that have earthy, sometimes herbal taste notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, you'll have high altitude African coffees with very fruity floral notes.
Uh-huh.
And then the South Central American coffees are somewhere in between.
Yeah.
So that's what specialty coffee is all about. And that's what we are trying to introduce to people. And if you over roast, if you roast dark, it's almost you mask all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have to roast a bit lighter to bring out these inherent flavors.
What has the response been like so far for you?
So, I mean, as I said, there are people who are used to their kopitiam, but I think there is a growing movement of home brewers and people willing to explore. In the beginning, when we started about 4 years ago, yeah, it was more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, a lot more people appreciate it now.
And you've got like a good response for the subscriptions, people signing up for the coffees, weekly, monthly.
Yes. I mean, that was also a little bit of a challenge in the beginning because mm-hmm. when I started Perk, you know, I wanted subscription. I thought subscription was the perfect model because we could roast to order, on demand, deliver small amounts of freshly roasted coffee mm-hmm. as and when you need it, and so you don't run out. But yes, I mean, we had people who didn't understand that whole concept, people who were not, you know, I've never signed up to a subscription before, a little bit wary about it, the commitment. So that was a challenge in the beginning. So I purposely built Perk to be flexible. I decided I was not going to charge people up front, say for a 6-month subscription or a 12-month subscription. It would be pay as you go. You can reschedule anytime. You can change your frequency, change your coffee type. And we always send an email notice before your next order is roasting, a couple of days before. So that gives customers a chance to change, to pause, to reschedule.
Anytime they want. And that's, I think, people appreciate that, because when you say that you have to lock them into a contract, that's when they don't want to commit, because they're like, I don't want to be in a 2-year contract or like a 1-year contract. But if you say that's they can cancel or change any time, then they're like, okay, I'll give it a try. I'm willing to see how this goes.
Yeah. So in the beginning, just the word subscription, people were scared. They would just assume that, they're locked in.
Yeah.
But so that took a little bit of education to get customers used, you know, you just needed them to try and experience it. You know, that's it at the end of the day. When you experience how flexible it is, it's easy.
There's convenience.
Yeah. You can go on holiday for a couple months. I mean, we have a lot of expat customers as well who go back during the summer break and they'll reschedule for or pause their account for a couple of months. It's normal.
So you get your stock and it never runs out.
That's right.
Okay. Tell us about the coffee beans themselves. Like where do your beans come from? How are they roasted?
We source beans from all over the world. I try and feature one or two beans from every major coffee growing region in the world.
Mm.
So I've mentioned them already. That's Asia. So we've got a bean from Sumatra that's on our menu. Sometimes we feature a West Javan bean. Recently, we featured a Papua New Guinea bean. And then we've got beans from South Central America. Brazil is very popular for everyone for some reason.
Yeah.
and a Guatemala or an El Sav bean. And then we've got one or two beans from Africa.
How do you filter your beans? Like, how do you pick? How do you know which are the beans that you want, which are the beans that you don't? Like, what kind of QC or quality control do they go through before you pick the beans to be put in under your brand?
So we deal with a few reputable green coffee traders, and they invite me to cuppings where I taste the coffee. So we do that on a fairly regular basis, once a month or so. I'll go and cup their new range of coffees when they've got a new shipment. And
it's not the worst job.
No, it's not. No. So yeah, that's what we do. So that's the industry term for tasting coffees. We cup, and you'll taste sometimes just 5 coffees, but I mean, I've been at cuppings where we've had nearly 30 coffees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Paul from Perk Coffee is our guest on today's Open for Business, and we are talking about keeping coffee fresh and creating a culture around good coffee. We will be back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Big friendly matcha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And we're back on Open for Business with Paul Berthelsen, founder of Perk Coffee. Paul was previously a farmer in Kenya for 15 years, and then he moved to Singapore to start a coffee subscription service that now operates in Malaysia as well, both locally roasted and locally delivered. You did an article with Says back in January talking about like 8 mistakes to avoid when buying coffee beans. And after reading like all the 8 points that you gave, I realized that a lot of us might have been drinking coffee wrong our whole lives. Like I've never once looked for like a roast date on the packaging. Like normally when something's more expensive, I'm just assuming that it comes from like a better place, you know, like, but that's not the case according to you.
That's certainly not the case. I mean, there's a lot of commercial brands in the supermarket that do not put a roast date. They'll just put a use by date. Mm-hmm. And it can be, honestly, it can be even up to 18 months from roast. And they're expensive, even more expensive than specialty coffee, and it's not even specialty grade. It's commercial grade. So
what does that mean, commercial grade and specialty grade?
So specialty grade is any coffee that cups, that scores 80 plus in a cupping.
Okay.
So it's there's a particular protocol that you follow where you've got 10 categories and a score out of 10 for each category, and then you add it up. 100 is perfect, right? But practically no coffee will get that. But any coffee that scores 80 plus is specialty grade. and commercial grades are less than that, basically. So in the 60s, 70s, yeah.
But speaking of better places, though, you also support something called ethical farming or ethical harvesting that sort of ties in with fair trade prices. Why is that important to you?
Fair trade's important. I mean, I've been a farmer most of my life. I mean, since I finished university, at the age of 22, then I went backpacking. I ended up becoming a farmer, and I know what it's like to be a farmer and sell your crop for at the mercy of the traders,
of the bargainer,
just of the market. You come in, the farmer always seems to get the raw end of the deal. That's why I said if I'm going to enter the coffee industry, I'm only going to be in specialty grade. Specialty grade automatically means we are paying way, way above fair trade price.
And the money goes back to the farmers.
Yeah. So, I mean, I deal with just reputable traders who have longstanding relationships with their farms. I deal with some bigger traders and some small ones as well who work together with the farmer to make to help them to grow better cultivation practices, harvesting methods. I mean, that's very, very critical in producing specialty grade coffee. The way you process it, the wet or the dry method, so they work with them and have a long-term relationship. That's the key. Just, you know, they can be sure that if they produce a better quality coffee, there's a market and they're going to be paid a better price for it. And you know, we know that world coffee prices have come down a lot.
They have?
Yes, they've come down significantly on the commercial market, on the commercial grade coffee.
Okay.
But our specialty grade coffee, we're still paying the same price or higher.
I want to talk about competition a bit because you are competing in a very crowded market, to say the least. So you have obviously the Mama here in Malaysia. So there's your Nescafes, your Kopi Ice, your Kopi O's. You've got big brands like the Starbucks, even McCafes, the San Francisco Coffees. You've got the hipster cafes, the trendy restaurants. You have artisan coffee houses, which I think is your closest competitor, the artisan guys, and like the dozens of brands on the shelf, like you said. So how are you planning to cut through all of that? Like, what is the game plan?
Okay, so I think first of all, we're in the specialty side of coffee, so that's a niche in itself.
Yes,
and then we're on the online space. So that's a lot smaller space. So I think we're, you know, it was just right time, right place, and I think people are recognizing, you know, that was another challenge in the beginning. Just can I educate people and show them that freshly roasted coffee is better, but really the only way to show them is for them to try, right?
Yeah.
So this is why we typically run these sort of promotions and give a first order discount, because we believe in our product so much that if you can just try it, you'll notice the difference. You wow, it just smells so much better when you grind it. It's so aromatic. The flavor is so much more vibrant. And then it's not just the product, it's also then the service. And then they realize, wow, this Perk subscription is so convenient. I mean, it gets delivered to my door when and as I need it. I can reschedule anytime. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of getting people to try.
It's a unique business model. Okay.
Yes.
What kinds of challenges are you facing at the moment as a company, as Perk Coffee itself? What kinds of challenges?
Just trying to scale, you know? I mean, like I said, we believe in our product so much that if people can just try. So how do we get in front of many people? In the beginning, when I started, I went to farmers markets, and it's time consuming and tiring. So you'll stand out in the sun for 5 hours and you might meet 50 people, right? 50, 60 people, and you'll chat with them and let them try your coffee. And that's a slow grind.
That is, yeah.
And you know, you might get maybe 10 people from that day and they'll try out your coffee, sign up, give it a go. I did that for a while. But, you know, we are on the online space. So the biggest challenge I had about a year ago was just trying to figure out how to scale properly online. So the key was to get better data reporting. I mean, our business, after all, is an e-commerce business. So if you're spending money on paid ads and you don't know what your return on investment is, then you go blind. And I think in the beginning, that's sort of what happened. So I was a little bit disillusioned with my spend. You know, am I really getting a return? You know, I've I've been in more traditional businesses in the past. I've been in farming, I've been in retail, and typically, you know, you put in a dollar and then there's a margin, right? You'll get something back. But I think in e-commerce, particularly in subscription, it's a different ballgame altogether.
Is logistics an issue? Because I'm guessing logistics must be like a major focus of your company, because it's your whole model sort of depends on, you know, the speed and the efficiency of getting the coffee from point A to point B being the doorsteps of your consumers. So is that what your team is mainly focused on? Is it the logistics?
Yeah, I must admit that is a big part of our business. Uh-huh. I mean, if we are, you know, claiming we are the freshest coffee and roast to order, you do want your coffee delivered timely, right? So in Malaysia, it's not so much of an issue, particularly in Klang Valley. We have a very good courier service provider, and we deliver within about 48 hours of roasting. Singapore's a little bit different. Last mile is more expensive there.
Uh-huh.
So we... our default service, our main service, is SingPost.
I didn't even think to ask you about the logistics issues in Singapore, because I just assumed that Singapore would be way easier. You know what I mean? Because I thought you would have problems like here in the Klang Valley because of traffic and getting from point A to point B, but...
Yeah, that's what I assumed too. But I think Singapore fulfillment is a little bit more is a little bit more tricky. The problem is that the price difference in SingPost versus other last mile providers, door-to-door services, is significant.
Okay.
In Malaysia, we don't have that. We use just a door-to-door courier service.
And you have more logistics providers and stuff, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is next for Perks, like Perk Coffee? Like, what are your expansion plans? You know, are you expanding to more countries, you know, bringing your coffee there? But what is the next step?
We'd definitely like to expand. I think we'll go through a phase in the next maybe 3 to 6 months of just consolidating what we have already. We only recently launched in Malaysia. That was in October last year. So we're still pretty young here. Mm-hmm. And it's doing really well. We're rapidly growing. And we just want to, you know, as you grow, obviously there's operational issues. So we want to make sure that we consolidate and do it step by step.
Okay, but if you moved into other countries, would you move into countries like, say, Vietnam or Australia? Would those be considerations? Because they already have their coffee sort of figured out, I think, because, you know, Vietnam's famous for their type of coffee and Australia's very famous for their type of coffee. Or would you pick other countries like Malaysia, where we're still trying to figure out what our favorite kind of coffee is?
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's so much about figuring out what your coffee is. I think we have a unique product and service. You know, we have a community now of coffee drinkers, and they come from all different walks of life, and they have, you know, some of them prefer espresso, some of them prefer French press or a bean to cup machine. Yeah, I mean, the home brewing scene is really growing. I think there's a movement. I remember my parents used to hand brew at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason we lost that. And I don't know what happened. I think maybe it was all those electric coffee machines that came into the market. But I think there's been a resurgence of this sort of home brewing, particularly the hand brew.
Yep.
And there's a lot of interest in that. And people realize that, you know, you don't have to be a pro barista. I mean, you can, and there's no right or wrong in coffee. It's just a matter of experimenting and trying yourself. So that's what we encourage. We try to demystify it. You know, we're not, in our blogs, we don't make it complicated. We try and it's simple.
Okay, last question before I let you go. What is your favorite cup of coffee? And I want the details. I want the bean, I want the roast, I want the blend, all of it. Like, what is your ideal cup of coffee?
Okay, let's start with origin. It's definitely East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very biased. I lived there for
15 years.
So Kenyan and Ethiopian coffee is my two favorite. Unfortunately, the Kenyan crops haven't been as good the last couple of years, but when they're good, they are just unreal. So right now, my favorite is Ethiopian coffees. So how do I brew it? I V60 pour over is my go-to method. It's my favorite. You know, a lot of people think, well, hand pour, isn't that time consuming and difficult? But really, it's not. It's so simple. It's a paper filter. You pour the ground coffee in, and the pour takes 2.5 minutes or so. That's it.
Hmm.
And there's no cleaning up. You throw the the paper with the coffee grounds into the bin and you're done. Rinse the dripper and you've got a beautiful cup of coffee. And the reason I like pour over paper filter is because it's a really clean taste. It highlights all those nuanced flavors, all the complex fruity notes.
Okay, so that would be your ideal cup.
That's my ideal cup, yeah.
Paul, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Arvind.
I've been speaking to Perk Coffee's Paul Berthelsen about coffee subscriptions and coffee culture. Perk can be found online at perkcoffee.co. And this interview can be found online on the BFM website, which is bfm.my, and on the BFM app, and on Spotify. We are parked under the podcast section. This has been Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.